When do you quit? When do you just throw up your hand and say, I've had enough? Is it when the resistance turns up? Is it when you get physically tired? Is it when something or someone challenges you? When do you quit? When do you give up? I'm going to look at a story of a man who refused to give up. If you've got your Bible and like to turn with me into the Scriptures, turn to the book of 2 Kings, the second chapter. As this chapter opens, we need to turn back the page 4, 5, 6 years. Depends on what commentator you check, what the actual time frame was. But about 5 or 6 years before what is recorded here, a prophet of God had a crisis of faith. It was Elijah. And Elijah ran from the threats of Queen Jezebel, and he ended up in a cave. And God said, Elijah, what are you doing here? And rather than give him his walking papers, what God did was this. He gave him a new assignment. And part of his assignment was to find a fellow named Elisha and anoint him to be the prophet after you. So, Elijah, whenever I'm done with you, God said, the guy who's going to follow you is Elisha. Go and find him and place my anointing on him. So for the last 5 years or so, Elisha has been, quote, serving, end quote, Elijah. And boy, has he seen a lot of things. He's seen a lot of confrontation between the prophet and the king. He saw Elijah operating in the anointing of God powerfully to do what needed to be done to advance the kingdom of God. But now, the time's come for the page in history to turn. And Elisha, we presume from revelation of God, knew that today is the last day. Elijah's going home today. And Elisha made a determination within himself, as led by God to do, that he was going with Elijah till the last minute. He was not going to be separated from him. So as chapter 2 opens, starts off this way, and it came to pass when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Then Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, please. The Lord sent me on to Bethel. Master said, wait here. I'm going on. But Elisha said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. And now the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, do you know that the Lord will take away your master from you today? Apparently, God sent a bulletin out to all of the prophets that said, Elijah's going home today. You know, they all checked their messenger. God said Elijah's going home today. So they run and be sure Elisha knows that Elijah is being taken home. He said, yes, I know. Just keep silent. Then Elijah said to him, Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Jericho. But he said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So they came to Jericho. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho came to Elisha and said to him, do you know that the Lord will take your master away from you today? And so he answered, yes, I know. Keep silent. Then Elijah said to him, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to the Jordan. But he said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So the two of them went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood facing them at a distance while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Now Elijah took his mantle and rolled it up and struck the water, and it was divided this way and that, so the two of them crossed over on dry ground. And so it was when they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, ask, what may I do for you before I'm taken away from you." Elisha said, "Please, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." So he said, "You've asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so." Then it happened as they continued on and talked that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it and he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen." So he saw him no more when he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. And he also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he also had struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and Elisha crossed over. It seems like there's two competitions going on, or there's a competing agenda. Elijah keeps telling his protege, "Stay here, God said go on." And Elisha refuses. He refuses to be separated. Now, a lot of us, if the boss said, "Stay here," we'd have pulled up a stump and sat there. But Elisha would not do that. We presume, as I said, because all the other prophets knew as well, we presume that God had informed them that this is the day that Elijah goes home. And Elisha absolutely refused to be separated from him. Oh, there were challenges. You know, the boss says stay, and you say, "No, I'm going anyway." That's usually, wouldn't that be rebellion? But you know, it's only rebellion if Elijah really wanted him to stay. Because, you see, there's lots of reasons that we meet resistance in this world. Sometimes the devil tries to stop us. We meet resistance that is from Satan. And if you are born again and filled with the Spirit, if you have any measure of discernment, you should be able to recognize when an attack is coming from the enemy. An attack from the enemy devalues you as a person. An attack from the enemy makes you feel small. An attack from the enemy is directed not at a behavior, but it's directed at a person. Its intent is to destroy you. So sometimes resistance comes from the devil. And the born-again believer should be able to recognize when something is coming from Satan. But you see, there's other places resistance comes from. Sometimes resistance comes from people. And sometimes those people are the unredeemed. They are the people of the world, the people who have not met Jesus as Lord and Savior. Sometimes that resistance is coming from this worldly component, and they're just trying to stop you. How many know that there is a worldly component that's trying to stop the church right now, as well as a devilish component that's trying to stop the church right now? But sometimes that resistance comes from people, and sometimes it comes from people who are influenced by Satan and the world system. Sometimes it also comes from God's own people who may not be fully yielded and submitted to the Spirit of God, who may be operating in a fleshly or a carnal way. Sometimes even the people closest to you who you know love the Lord miss it, and they become resistance to what God's calling you to do. There's no doubt Elisha knew what God called him to do here. He knew he was called to be the successor of Elijah, and he knew that in order to walk in that ministry, he had to be with Elijah to that last possible second. He knew it. He knew it not only in his head, he knew it in his heart. He knew it in his spirit because the Spirit had revealed to him, you need to stick with him. But it seems like here everything's coming against him. Elijah keeps saying, "Stay back, stay back, stay back." He keeps saying, "Nope, going with you." But you know, there's a third place that resistance comes from. Sometimes it's from the devil, sometimes it's from people, sometimes it's from God. Sometimes it is a test. And a test is not meant to challenge you or to break you. A test is meant to prove that something is good. If you had an accident in your car today, would you be comforted by the fact that that car was actually tested and found to be safe, that the seat belts were going to work, that everything was going to be good, you know, that it was going to, everything was going to happen, it was going to do its job to protect you? If you jumped out of an airplane, would you like to know that somebody had tested the parachute first? We want to know. You know, we had a terrible thing in the news. A building collapsed in Florida. People were killed and hurt. Property was destroyed. You know, you need to know that that building was sound. We need to know that our faith is sure. We need to know that our calling is sure. We need to know that God is God. And how many know that sometimes, if it's possible for us to get ourselves out of a situation or to bring about a perfect solution to a situation, if it were possible that it could be done by our effort, we would miss the fact that God's moving behind the scenes to make it happen. But we got to know that when we're past ourselves, that we can trust God. When it's too big for us, when we can't, we got to know that He can. And this is where Elisha was here at this point in time. I truly believe that this was a test from God. Not to check out Elisha, but to prove God's faithfulness to Elisha. Think what Elisha was called to do. Elijah was the preeminent prophet of God for his entire lifetime. He was the lead voice. He was the voice of God for a generation. And Elisha was to follow him. It's a task too big for any human being. It's a task that can only happen under the anointing of God. And it had to be that way. And Elisha had to know that he knew that he knew that he knew that he knew that the God who was with Elijah was with him. If I'm going to go face the king, I need to know God's with me. If I'm going to go face the prophets of the false gods, I need to know God's with me. If I'm going to step out in faith in this world that you and I live in today, we need to know God's with us and that we can trust Him. This is where Elisha was. Elisha, stepping into that ministry, had to know. But you know, this whole journey that's described here, there's something to it. These are not four random places. They started off in Gilgal. Gilgal was the place where, when Israel was getting ready to enter into the promised land, it was the place where they were rededicated. It was the place where all the men of Israel were circumcised before they entered into the land of the promise. The name actually means the rolling back of reproach. Reproach is a bad reputation. Reproach recalls failures. Reproach recalls who you were before. And this now becomes a place where that past is put behind you, and by faith you step forward to enter the land of the promise. The place of Gilgal is critically important to understand this story. We need to know what happened there historically to see its symbolic value to the man of God. It was at Gilgal, when the people of Israel crossed over the Jordan River, it was there the manna stopped. No longer could they live by sight, by going out and picking up bread off the ground in the morning. They had to walk in the blessing of the land. There was a change. It wasn't something they could... The pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire that they had been following for a generation, click. Trust God. Yeah, you might not be able to see the cloud and the fire anymore, but I'm still here. Can you believe it? Can you believe it when you can't see it? And the first challenge to Elisha happens here at Gilgal. God had told him, had warned him in his spirit, he needed to stick with Elijah, and here's Elijah saying, no, 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 stay here. Who do I believe? Do I believe my human master that I can see? Or do I believe what God through His Spirit spoke into my spirit? Who do I believe? Whose report will you believe? Elisha chose to believe the report of the Lord. He said, nope, going with you. They go from Gilgal to Bethel, the house of God. What happened at Bethel? It was at Bethel that Jacob wrestled all night. Bethel is a place of struggle. And after you make that first decision like Elisha did, there will be an opportunity to struggle. Do I continue to follow what God has told me? Or do I start to believe what my eyes see and my ears hear and I back off and say no? Jacob refused to let go until he got a blessing. Refused to quit. Elisha, after following his master to Bethel, is told again, stay here, and Elisha refused to quit. He secured his faith by wrestling for it. Now, we all have made decisions. I'm going to follow God in this area. I'm going to do what I feel the Spirit's leading me in that area. And it seems like the first thing that happens is we get challenged. Welcome to Bethel. Welcome to a place of wrestling. Welcome to a place where you have to contend for your faith. Gilgal's about walking by faith and not by sight. Bethel is about contending for your faith. Sometimes we got to put out some effort. Sometimes we got to make a hard decision to keep going. Now, poor Elisha here, now twice, not just once, twice, his master's told him, stay here. And the second time he says, nope, going with you anyway. So where do they go from Bethel? Jericho. Jericho. Well, what happened historically at Jericho? Jericho is unique among all the battle stories of the Old Testament. At Jericho, God gave them a very specific plan of battle, and it was about as unorthodox as it could possibly be. I want you to get everybody together and don't make a sound and march around the city once a day for 6 days. Nobody say anything. Don't blow the horn. Don't draw your sword. Don't do anything. Walk around the building. Walk around the city in perfect silence. What do you reckon the inhabitants of Jericho thought standing up on the wall? Reckon they threw rotten fruit at them? Ha, ha, ha. What's the matter with those nuts? What kind of a siege is this? But then on the seventh day, it was even more unorthodox. You march around seven times and nobody's saying, you say nothing until right at the end. Then everybody shout and blow the horns and the walls will fall down and you'll go up and capture the city. Yeah, right. When has that ever happened in history before? Them must be really loud trumpets. But they did it. Jericho is a place of warfare, but it's about warfare God's way. It's about follow God's instruction to the letter. And this is what Elisha did. Because once again at Jericho, Elijah says, stay here. And Elisha says, nuh-uh, I'm going with you. So they go then from Jericho to the Jordan River. And the Jordan River has a lot of symbolism to him, but primarily for Israel, the Jordan River was a birth canal. Israel crossed the Red Sea, and it was a birthing experience as a tribe of people. They turn around again and they cross the Jordan River, and it's a birthing experience as in possessing the land of the promise. Something new was born at the Jordan. And it was born in a miracle whereby the waters were divided and the people crossed over on dry land. So what happens when Elijah and Elisha get to the Jordan River? What happens? Well, what did that scripture say? Elijah took off his mantle, he rolled it up, struck the water with it. Water parts. We've seen this before. Elijah and Elisha crossed the Jordan from Israel to the other side on dry land. At that point, Elijah asks, "What is it you want, Elisha?" He said, "I want a double portion of your anointing. However much God was with you, Elijah, I want twice as much." How many would like to have twice as much anointing? Or 3 times, or 100 times, or 1,000 times. Anointing is the presence of God with you for God's purpose. It is God's presence not only dwelling quietly within you, but the anointing is a calling. The anointing gives purpose. The anointing gives power. The anointing enables you to be who God's calling you to be. In the Old Testament, for Elijah and Elisha, the presence of God came on them like a garment, like the mantle, which is symbolic here. But not in the New Testament. In the New Testament, the Holy Spirit lives in the believer. And the anointing comes from the Holy Spirit within the believer and bursts out of the believer to make us who God's calling us to be. The potential is not out there somewhere. The potential's in here. And the potential is not about Ronnie or Alvy or Myla or Dwayne. The potential's about Jesus in you. Holy Spirit in you. That's where the potential is. And that anointing that God places in you needs to be able to bubble up out of you like a pot boiling over on the stove. Elijah says, "Okay, if that's what you want, if you stay with me until the end, if you see me taken up, then you'll get it." And lo and behold, that's what happens. God miraculously translates Elijah from this world to the next. By the way, Elijah did not die. He will be back. Read Revelation. So Elijah is taken up. Elisha sees it. He does 2 things. He rips his garments. Mourning. "My master that I have served for this last 5 or 6 years is gone. I'm sad." But then he bends over and he picks up Elijah's mantle and he returns to the river. And it's almost like he does a test. "Where is the God of Elijah?" Whap! And the waters part. And Elisha walks into the promised land on dry ground in the midst of the waters. And a new prophetic ministry is born. You want to know what the footnote is? The Bible records 7 miracles that Elijah did. It records 14 that Elisha did. Let us know that that double portion hit, didn't it? But you see, Elisha knew what God called him to do and didn't quit. He didn't look at the challenges 4 times and said, "Stay back! Or if you don't see me, then it's not going to happen." He was challenged. He was pushed back. But you see, that challenge, the devil might have been wanting to use it to stop him. You don't know what the motivation of the people were when they kept telling him, "Hey, you know, your boss is going home today." But God had a test. Just as surely as it was a test for Abram to take Isaac to the mountain intending to sacrifice him, just as surely as that was a test of what was inside him, this was a test of whether Elisha had the mettle to trust God. And he came through with flying colors. And the proof is in the history. So my challenge to you today is this: what's holding you back? What's keeping you from reaching your potential? What is keeping you all bound up? Are you listening to the devil saying you can't do it? You know what? Very often the devil tells you the truth, but he does it with the intent to trip you up. You can't do it. I can't do what I'm doing up here. God working through me can do what I'm doing up here. So the devil might be telling you, no, you're not enough. No, you've made too many mistakes. No, you're not worthy. No, you don't have it in you. Well, I'll tell you this. If the Spirit of the living God lives in you, you've got it in you. You've got it in you to do whatever God's calling you to do, whether it's to wave a flag, sing a song, preach a sermon, run a soundboard, drive a bus, pick up cigarette butts in the parking lot. God can help you do it if that's your purpose. We need to hear His purpose for ourselves and walk in it and trust Him to do it. Maybe people are telling you you're not enough or you failed too many times. Maybe you're saying that to yourself. How many know that the report that we're most likely to believe is the one we tell ourselves? And we generally take the dimmest possible view of ourselves because we know where every wart and wrinkle are. You know what? God doesn't care much about warts and wrinkles. He can fix them if they need fixed or cause them to be used for His glory if that's what He wants. Hello. Maybe God is testing you. Do you trust me? Do you believe that I can and I will? Do you believe that I can bring to completion that seed that I have put in you? Do you trust Him to do it? When the challenges come, do they break you or do they cause you to trust God even more? Elisha wouldn't quit. What about you? You quitting? Or are you going to say, I don't care what you say, I'm going with you to the end? Are you going to pick up the mantle and smite the water with it? We've all got those. We've all got symbols of authority and office. We are the blood-bought children of the King. You have authority in Christ Jesus in the area that He is leading you to go. Will you walk in it or will you be afraid of it? We suppose what would have happened if Elisha looked for a rowboat to come back across the river instead of struck it with the mantle. Stand with me if you would. Have you quit? Or even worse, have you never started? Have you heard what God's calling you to do? If not, why not? These altars are open this morning, and I'm going to ask you, if you don't know what your purpose in God is, come and find out. Let me go even more basic than that. If there's anyone here who doesn't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that's point number one. God has no presence in you until you have made that step. So if you need to be born again, you come and see me up here in the front. If you're a believer and you need to be recharged, to have your vision started again, if you need to repent for resisting what God's leading you to do, then these altars are open. I'm going to ask you to do business with God today because you're not guaranteed tomorrow. Some blessings of God, some assignments from God are time sensitive. And if you dawdle too long, you miss the train. Whatever God's leading you to do today, I'm going to ask you to step forward and do it now.